HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Radio Free Afghanistan, a 20-year odyssey for an independent voice in Kabul, by Saad Mohseni, with Jenna Krajewski. Read by Ramiz Monsef. For my parents, Safia and Yasin Mohseni, who encouraged us to be passionate and curious. My children, who at times had to share their father with Afghanistan. And to our fallen colleagues at Mobi, whose memory inspires us to keep working. Part 1. Chapter 1. Taliban Raid. Kabul. 2022. When the Taliban official arrived at the Kabul offices of Mobi, the media company I founded with my siblings over 20 years ago, Khpolwak Sapai, our head of news, expected him to be angry. Sapai was prepared to be yelled at, told to cancel or to censor a television show, to pull a news story, to apologize on air, even to be detained. If possible, he was ready to negotiate. Interactions like this had become commonplace since the Taliban had taken over 6 months earlier in August 2021, in the wake of the American withdrawal, and we did what we needed to do, not just to survive, but to coexist. The Taliban were the government now. If we expected there to remain an Afghan media operating within Afghanistan, and not to be reduced to screaming from the margins in D.C. or London, we had to learn to adapt. The Taliban themselves understood, or claimed to understand, the importance of having a free Afghan media. Months after the fraught early days after the fall of Kabul, when people clung desperately to planes taking off at the airport and thousands of others crowded the gates to get inside, things had appeared to calm down. But in the midst of that relative calm, the new government had begun to put more pressure on the Afghan media. And one of my Taliban contacts had called me.
"You're not going to leave, are you?"
he asked, worried that, from abroad, I was strategizing how to close down our Kabul offices. "Not if I can help it," I had said. "But I was thinking, that's kind of up to you, isn't it?" Sapai is a legendary figure in Afghanistan, with a commanding presence tempered only slightly by a preference for authorial brown suit jackets and wire-framed glasses. When Kabul fell, he was in his mid-60s and had been working as a journalist in the country for nearly 2 decades. He was determined and decorated. He had contacts in the Taliban, and he knew how to talk to them, most helpfully to their spokesperson, Zabihullah Mujahid. Like most of the Taliban, he was Pashtun himself. Over the last 4 tumultuous decades of his life, he had never felt compelled to leave Afghanistan, his beloved country, home to his children. Unlike most of the hundreds of staffers and guests who had come through Mobi over those 2 decades, those who had lived for a generation as refugees in Pakistan, rich Afghans who had been educated in the West, international consultants, actors and journalists and DJs and countless on-air guests, Sapai wasn't scared of the Taliban. He knew that beneath the cloak of extremism, they were Afghans. And he wanted to understand them. A good journalist, Sapai thought, doesn't see anyone as an enemy or as a friend while they're working. "You only become a human being again with likes and dislikes after you close the story," he would tell our staff. It had been Sapai who ultimately made the call to run the story that had so angered the Taliban official in the first place, bringing him to our offices to conduct a raid. The decision hadn't come easily. Sapai might have been more comfortable than his colleagues talking to the Taliban spokesperson, but he wasn't naive about what the organization was capable of. Yet he felt he had no choice. After 6 months in charge, during which they worked to cement their power over the Afghans who remained in the country, Taliban officials had begun asserting their authority over our offices, summoning Mobi employees or dropping by the offices almost daily.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?